No, it's really lovely to be here with so many Bristol friends. I spend quite a bit of time here one way or the other. And I noticed last year when we were here together, it's just very, it's lovely to all have this real chunk of time together. And at Adishtana in very extraordinary conditions, actually. Yeah, very, very good, precious conditions for practice. And I actually wasn't involved in choosing the theme for this retreat. As many of you know, I'm actually standing in for Ken Jyoti at the moment in the office because she's away on a three-month retreat, so it was all planned. And then I came in, and part of it was, oh, could I be part of the team for this retreat? Which I was very happy to do, and I was particularly delighted when I discovered that this theme was the three bodies of the Buddha, the Trikaya. Trikaya, three, kaya is bodies, that's a Sanskrit term. And it's a teaching that's really fascinated me for a very long time. It's something that there's been a lot of scholarly writing about, and it's easy to get into all sorts of debates and discussions about the scholarly side of it. But what really has fascinated me is that it's got this really practical application. I found it a really practical teaching in my own Dharma life. The basic idea is that the Buddha didn't just exist as a historical person. There was more to the Buddha than him just being a historical person. And this was true right back at the time of the Buddha. The Buddha himself said, don't just associate me with my physical body. He who sees the Dharma sees the Buddha. In a way, what makes up the Buddha isn't the flesh and bones, it's actually the Dharma that he embodies. So originally there was this kind of split into this sense of, yes, there's the physical Buddha in his body, and then there's also this rather more mysterious body of the Dharma known as the Dharmakaya, the Dharma body. And the scholars had a lot of fun with that, and some of them said, oh yes, the Dharma body is like the body of teachings, of a body of work, the body of the Dharma, the body of teachings. That's another way of understanding the Buddha. But then there's this other interpretation, which is quite mysterious, which is it's a body in the sense of this ineffable spirit of the Dharma that goes beyond words, it goes beyond reason. It's something we can all feel. It's like a kind of a presence, a felt sense, a knowing of the Buddha that doesn't rely on his historical person, that doesn't rely on a physical object. So there was originally this kind of split into two. But what happened, again, over time, over the tradition, this is something Sangharakshita, our teacher, has been very, very good at. He's kind of looking at these big trends that happen in the Buddhist tradition, and in a way how sometimes that will roll along and then it will get itself into a bit of a cul-de-sac. People start to grab hold of things too tightly and take things too literally. And yeah, this idea of the Buddha as a historical person and the Dharmakaya as just the teachings of the Buddha, it all got a bit stuck and a bit ossified and a bit literalistic. It was like this sense of a kind of literal understanding of who the Buddha was, and it all started to get very kind of pinned down and codified. And I talked about this a bit when I did a series of talks on Sangha Night, the January before last, where I was talking about imagination, the importance of imagination in the Dharma life and in Dharma practice. And what happened in the tradition in response to this was that the Mahayana strand of the Buddhist tradition came along and said, no, it's not as pinned down and as literal as that. Actually, it's all much more colourful. There's an evolution of our own minds and our own consciousness from this very literal, in a way quite, how do I put it? In a way, when we start to practice, our understanding is quite kind of like, yes, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and it's like that, and it's all nice and clear, and it's all in a box. And the more we practice, the more that starts to loosen up, and it's like, oh no, there's something a bit more mysterious going on here, a bit more ineffable, a bit more fascinating, something that's drawing us in. and it goes beyond our rational mind. So in the tradition, this is when the whole Mahayana teachings come in, and they start to go, no, there's not just the historical Buddha. There are all these qualities that the Buddha had that become embodied in the archetypal realm, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, this whole realm that takes us beyond the limitations of our own rational mind and just our five senses. There's more to us than that, and this is something that the Buddha was saying. There's more that we can become. And for me personally, this has been such an important part of my journey, because when I came along, I was experiencing a lot of dukkha, and I could see the logic in the Dharma, and I was fascinated by the very kind of heady teachings, and I really thought, right, it's all going to make sense. I'm going to be able to nut it out with my head. And really, really tried that for quite a while, a couple of years or more. And I was very resistant to the whole idea of myth and imagination. It was like, no, that stuff is not true. That isn't the way to go. And then gradually, it was like my reason had taken me as far as I could, and I just got stuck with it. And it wasn't enough space. It was too restricting. It was like reason and the senses, it's kind of limited in terms of time and space. And so this whole archetypal imaginal realm that came in with this evolution of the Buddhist tradition, and it's paralleled in our own Dharma lives, is unlimited in terms of time and space. The archetypal Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, we can't touch them, we can't feel them, we can't pin them down, they're not gods out there. They're some other kind of thing, some other kind of realm, if you like. And they draw us out and beyond our limited rational understandings. And they point towards a third level. So we've got originally there were these two levels, and then what happened in the Mahayana tradition was there's the kind of historical level, there's this imaginal intermediary kind of realm. It's often called the glorious realm of delight, enjoyment. It's an intermediary realm that can draw us into it with all these figures and all sorts of imaginative ways of engaging with the Dharma that points again to something beyond. Like it points to something even beyond imagination. So it's like you've got the rational, you've got, which is like without imagination. Then you've got a realm that starts to bring in imagination, which Sangharakshita describes as a faculty of transcendence, something that can actually lead us beyond our fixed, limited selves. And it points towards something even beyond imagination, into something so vast and ineffable that it's a kind of freedom that we can't even conceive of when we begin. And it's a bit like if you're imagining it in terms of colour and form, it's a bit like you go from kind of being black and white to being in something that's got like the whole spread of the rainbow. But even going beyond that to something that is as ineffable as the blue sky, and it's got that much space and that much freedom. And that often draws us, right from the start, that sense of freedom. But actually, if we find ourselves in it, it can be too much. We often need something that we can kind of move towards, which gives us a sense of a realm that is between our mundane, familiar realm and the absolute, ultimate reality that is enlightenment, and also is this Dharma body, this Dharma kaya. So we're going to be exploring this over the weekend, and I really wanted to encourage you just to let go and experience the journey through these realms. So tomorrow morning, Badra is going to be introducing the Nimanakaya, which is this the aspect of it which is to do with the historical Buddha, to do with the embodiment in the here and now. And then tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be starting to unfold this whole exploration of the Sambhogakaya, this intermediate realm, which is very much the realm of imagination. And this will flow us very much into the puja that we're going to do tomorrow night. And then we've got Naravira on Sunday helping us to explore this realm of the Dharmakaya, this realm of reality, sometimes characterized by the blue sky and awareness itself. And we can't pin it down with our minds. We have to, in a way, we have to let ourselves, let it come to us. Let ourselves be affected. And being here in these conditions is just a real opportunity for that. Adishtana, the word, means blessings. And there's this sense that actually if we're receptive to the teachings of the Buddha, to the reality of the Buddha, it's like blessings pouring upon us. And there are so many ways in being here that we can become receptive to that. Just the beauty of the place, the incredible atmosphere that is created, that we co-create by practicing together, whether we're talking together, whether we're meditating together, whether we're washing up together, whether we're being in silence, that precious silence. How often in life can you spend time in silence together, harmoniously? So there are realms to be experienced here, different realms. And this weekend we're going to be taking a journey through that. And each aspect of it is a chance to explore that. So tomorrow morning when we chant the Tiratnavandana, if you've never experienced it before, just let yourself be affected by that experience, being in that realm of the Tiratnavandana. And when we come around to Monday, on Monday morning, we're going to come together and do some writing together that will just help us to really make conscious what our own experiences this weekend have been. It's not writing to ever share with anybody else, it's a reflection for ourselves. So we're going on this journey together through the three realms, the three bodies of the Buddha.